All right. Good evening, everyone. Welcome to the February 19th, 2025 Economic Development Committee meeting. Just a couple of housekeeping items before we get started. For committee members, if you can please keep your video on for the duration of the meeting. And if you need to be called upon, please use the raise hand feature or simply wave that you would like to be called upon. For city staff, please keep your video on while you're speaking, but otherwise, please keep it off. And likewise, use the raise hand feature or wave if you'd like to be recognized. And for members of the public, if there are any members of the public here this evening, thank you for joining us. If you're registered to speak, please wait until you're called upon by the chair. And if you are a member of the public, please do not use your video this evening when speaking. With that, I will call the roll. Jeff Ligon looks like he is not here. Alder Duncan. Alder
Here.
Duncan's present. Kaba Ba does not look like Kaba is here. Melissa Gumbar.
President.
Melissa Gumbar is here. Alder Wahilahi.
Here.
Alder Wahilahi is here. Looks like Nicholas Paris is absent. Alder Madison.
Here.
Alder Madison is here. Seth Lins is excused for the evening. Susan Balgren.
Here. Here.
Susan Balgren is here, and Chair Harris.
Here.
All right, Chair, we have quorum. The floor is yours.
Right. Thank you, Matt. Okay, we'll start out with the approval of the minutes of the January 15th meeting. Can I get a motion to approve?
I'll make a motion.
Okay, thank you, Susan. Is there a second?
Second, second.
Okay, thank you, Melissa. All right, any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor, please signify by saying aye or raising your hand.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Okay, motion passes. Okay, we don't have any public comment at this point. Do we have any members of the body that should make any required disclosures or recusals under the city's ethics code? Seeing none, then we'll move right into new business. And item one, Saran, will you take us through that?
Yes, of course. Thank you, Chair. Good
Thank you,
evening,
Saran.
everyone. All right. So we have a resolution before you asking for authorization to allow us to conduct business outreach to use funds from our Small Business Equity and Recovery Program in the amount of $25,000. So out of that $25,000, we plan to use the majority of the funds between $20,000 to $23,000 to partner with our planning colleagues in or two area plan efforts, the Southeast area plan and also the Southwest area plans. So with those funds, we would hire a consultant to help us conduct some business outreach. And this could be anything from door-to-door surveys, online, phone, et cetera. And then as you may have recall last year, our planning colleagues did present the, I believe it was the Northeast and West area plans last year. And one thing that was identified was the challenge in reaching out to businesses and getting input from them. So this year we're trying to be more intentional, making sure that we do reach out to the business community. And we're hoping that with these funds, we could then hire a consultant to help us with those efforts. And then with the, and then just a reminder. So with these area plans, it's a citywide effort. The city wants to get feedback from residents and the business community on improvements for infrastructure, streets, parks, things like that, and just development through future land use. So just a little bit of information on that. And then the remaining $2,000 we plan to use in partnership with the council office for the Alder Small Business Familiarization Tour, FAM Tour, which we do have scheduled for May 3rd. So please save the date for Saturday, May 3rd for the Small Business FAM Tour. And Chair, you joined us last year, and other folks that joined us, feel free to chime in. We felt that it was very successful in helping our elders and community members just see the businesses that we're supporting through our office, and just hearing directly from them the needs and how impactful these funds have been. So we're hoping to do that again this year and just need a little bit of funding just to support transportation and just the very popular OBR brochures, which we now also have translated in Spanish. So we're hoping to get more printout and physical copies of those so we could hand it out to our elders and community members and businesses. So I will pause there. Any questions on the resolutions? The resolution. Sorry.
Saran, on the tour, do you know what time that's going to be?
Yes. We'll start. It'll be from 10 a.m. to 3:30.
Okay. All right. And Susan, you have your hand up.
I do. Saran, I know one thing that has been very difficult for us is to get demographic information about the various businesses you're going to be outreaching to. How might you be able to do that? You know, what is the actual operation that you're going to be using to do that? And then what will you do with that information?
Yeah, so the demographic part, we could definitely put in the survey. You know, of course, we probably can't require people to disclose certain personal information. So we will ask them to volunteer if they could disclose their demographic, but that's definitely something that we could add to the list of questions that will go out to the businesses.
I know when we've tried to do specific projects, one of the gaps that we have is actually being, you know, email addresses, contact information, and that's been a longstanding problem. So I would highly recommend that somehow we try and get that information from those businesses that you actually try and visit. And hopefully some of those that maybe wouldn't be able to visit with you at that time, but maybe in the future.
Yes, yes, absolutely. We're hoping that the door in person, we could collect the most, you know, recent updated information. And absolutely there'll be opportunities to still, you know, outreach to them even after these area plans and business outreach efforts. So
great. Thank you.
And I'll just chime in. I went on the tour last year, and it was very eye-opening. It was fun to be able to talk to the folks that we helped. And it kind of brings, I don't want to say closure, but it helps, I guess, you know, it just helps in knowing that here's somebody with a business that hopefully is thriving, that we helped, and hopefully we're creating generational wealth, which is, you know, part of our goal is to, you know, make sure that everybody is able to participate in this economy. So if you can get out that day and go on that tour, it's well worth it. Nasra?
Thank you, Saran. I echo what you just said, Wayne. My question to Saran is, Have you developed the schedule, or, you know, if you will, if you can discuss some of the businesses that have been identified to be visited, or the place for the lunch that will be, you know, who is hosting us?
So that's two separate activities. So for the consultant for the business outreach. The only thing we've done so far is send out just some requests for some proposals on how these companies would propose on helping us conduct these outreach, but nothing's been scheduled or planned. So we would all welcome any feedback, questions. And you know, if there's certain businesses, it has to be in the planning's geography. So there's a map that we could send you, the Southwest and Southeast area plans. And then I know Ruth is working with our planning colleagues to get a list of those businesses and then just kind of identify which businesses we should definitely outreach to. There could be larger employers, which might not be a part of that actual outreach, but we might reach out to the mayor and maybe she could do a mayor business visit. But yeah, so we don't have all the final details just yet, but we will, and we definitely welcome your feedback on anyone that you feel like we should reach out to in those area plans. And then for the lunch tour, for the small business fam tour, we do have recommendations from city staff based on the folks who receive city support. But of course, we welcome your feedback as well, because it all kind of depends on how many businesses we could fit in, you know, that 10 to 3:30 period, and then also who's available on May 3rd to, you know, for us to come and visit. So if you have folks in mind, feel free to recommend them, and then we'll of course get city staff feedback as to who all we've supported lately, and see if we could get those businesses to host for lunch. But yeah, so nothing finalized yet. Just first of all, getting permission to do so and funding to do so, and then of course we'll welcome feedback from you all on the details.
And to follow up with that, so most of the businesses that we are touring is, you know, organizations or businesses that have received some of our, you know, support. But also in the restaurant, do they have to be our support business, or it can be any other restaurant?
Yeah, I mean, last year it wasn't a business that we supported financially. And so it doesn't, you know, we could make a stop at a restaurant that wasn't funded, and maybe they could be funded in the future.
Okay, cool. Thank you. Thank you, Chair.
Yeah, I don't see any other hands. So would somebody like to make a motion to accept this proposal?
Motion to accept.
Okay. Second. Thank from you. Sabrina.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor signify by saying aye or waving your hand.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Okay, passes.
Thanks, okay. Everyone.
Thanks, Ron. On to discussion item number two. The business lending and underwriting program. Is Mike Miller available?
Chair, oh, John, do you want to go ahead? Chair, Mike Miller is not available tonight, so I can just kick off the introduction. Okay. We have our colleagues from Mass and Development Corporation here this evening to talk about both their business lending program sort of at large, what they do, not only working with us on the projects that you see, but just in general throughout the community. And then also to talk a little bit about specifically the underwriting that Mass and Development Corporation does on behalf of the city for the projects that you do see as an EDC. So with that, I'm happy to introduce Jillian and Lori. I don't know, Lori, are you going to kick things off? Or?
Yes, I am.
All right, so I'll turn it over to Lori to kick off the discussion.
Thank you so much.
Is it okay if I share my screen or slides?
Yes. I need to just go in here.
I don't need any slides, Jillian.
Yeah, you can get started and I'll share it when you're.
Yeah, so I'll start. Okay, so I'm Lori Heineman. I'm president of Madison Development Corporation. I've been there for 8 years. MDC has been a partner of the City of Madison since 1977, because we were founded by the City of Madison to be kind of the economic development arm. So over the past, you know, 47 years, we've provided, you know, thousands of dollars and created over 2,000 jobs between our different programs. One main program and the very most important program that we run is the business lending program, which is funded by the City of Madison. We also are funded with our TID program. And of course, we have our venture debt fund. And most recently, that Matt's very familiar with, we started a housing fund to make sure that we could kind of complement the sources of funding that the city has and to be able to make projects work and happen here in the City of Madison as well as Dane County. So with that, I'll turn it back over to Jillian, but we just wanted to thank the entire Economic Development Committee, the CDBG Committee, and certainly Saran and your staff for being very supportive and giving us the opportunity to run your programs on behalf of the city. So thank you.
Yeah, thanks for kicking that off, Lori. And I'd like, I'm Jillian Hackle. I'm the Business Lending Program Manager at Madison Development Corporation. I've been with the organization for about 5 years now, and I've worked really closely with the city-sponsored lending programs for the past few years, and I really appreciate the opportunity to do this. So I'll tell you a little bit more about our programs today, and if you have any questions at any point, please just let me know. So Lori gave you a little overview of Madison Development Corporation. The Small Business Lending Program, or BLP, was our original loan program. We've been running since 1977. We've made over 500 loans through this program, and it has supported the creation of over 3,890 jobs. So we've been running this for many years, and it has built, we have the capacity and software, all of the tools that we were able to translate into the Small Cap TIF program. So when that opportunity came to us, it was a very natural extension of what we already did, making loans to small businesses in Madison. So with the Small Cap TIF lending program, these guidelines were created with the help of City of Madison staff and with MDC staff as well. So the program is for small businesses in Madison. Right now we have 3 active TID districts with funding available, and we've made just over $1 million in loans so far over the past few years with it. Businesses can get up to $250,000 in forgivable funding through this program, and they're fully forgivable over 5 years. So for every year that the business operates within the district, we write off 20% of the loan. There's no payments, no interest is accruing. Hopefully it's fully forgivable over the time. We do work with the borrower and other financing sources to size the loans. So they're usually closer to the 100 to 150,000 mark, because we want to see the businesses putting in equity as well and seeing other financing sources. So this program works really well with a primary bank, usually contributing, you know, about 70% of the loan for the project. And then this program comes in and helps fill some of that gap really nicely to make the projects happen. So this is kind of an overview of our process that I'll go through tonight. MDC does everything from the business development through application, underwriting, closing, and then servicing these loans. So starting with business development, we get referrals for this loan program from a variety of sources. You know, we have a couple of real estate brokers that are aware of the program and send us referrals. City of Madison Office of Business Resources is great and sends us a lot of good leads. And when we receive a lead, I'll meet with the company and determine if their project kind of matches what the program guidelines are and if there's budget available for it, to kind of see if it's a good fit. And if it is, we will move on to the application and underwriting process. So these loans, we do underwrite and secure like a loan. So I go through the same process underwriting them. We want to make sure these projects are feasible and the company is financially secure, to make sure it's a good investment, with the city funds. So during application, we look at a lot of the same things a bank will, including their business plan, their project sources and uses, the historical financials if available, and we really dig into the projections as well. You know, I want to hear about how they made their assumptions, whether they're reasonable or not, kind of comparing them to their historicals if available, and seeing how this investment is going to change their projections and finances going forward. We do require guarantees from principals owning 20% or more of the business. So we do require their personal financial statements, and we review those as well, along with their credit history. We look at the resumes of the principals, and then we really dig into their debt schedule as well to make sure they have debt service capacity, and we look at the collateral available to see if the loan can be secured. Some of the key financial ratios we go over are the debt to net worth. So we want to make sure the company isn't going to be overburdened with debt, that they still have some equity remaining in the company. We look at their current ratio. We want to make sure that they have capacity to pay their bills on time. And then the debt coverage is also really critical. We want to make sure that they will have capacity to be paying their debt after all of the financing is completed. And with that, we usually like to see at least 1.15, so they have a little wiggle room, but that kind of depends on the industry and business model as well. And so for loan to value, we would like to be able to secure, we will take a mortgage on the property if available. Usually we're in second behind the primary lender, and we like to see that with the primary lender and our loan, the small captive loan, there's LTV less than 100%. And then we also want to make sure these companies are, will be able to operate once the, you know, they start, finish their project. So we like to see that they have at least a few months of working capital on hand. Some of these ratios can kind of vary by the business model and the industry, but those are kind of the starting points for them. Is there any questions at this point? Susan, I see you raised your hand.
Just a couple of questions. And one of them being is, how do you work with the SBA? You said that you do 30% of the loan and the bank does the other 70. And is, if there's SBA money involved, does that count toward the 70% is the first question. The second one is, where are these TIF areas that you're funding right now? Is there a specific geographic area that you are funding with the TIF?
Yeah, great question. So I think we've had one loan so far that had SBA funding included. And I would count that towards the 70% of the loan or 80%. So usually with the city money, the small cap TIF, and if they get any other grants, that's kind of that 30% that we're looking at. That's a little flexible, but that's usually how we like to size the loans. And then for the active areas now, there are three. So one of them is along the Park Street corridor. That's TID 51, I believe. And I can send up the maps as well. I'm sorry, I don't have them handy right now. I should have included them in the PowerPoint. But then there's two on the east side as well. One that kind of goes from the Northgate shopping area down to Dickinson Street, I believe is the southern cutoff. And then there's one in the Carpenter Ridgeway area as well.
So I think that's TID 51, 52, and 54, right?
Yes, thank you. Well, Wayne, do you have a question?
Yeah, what's the success rate? And how many businesses, I know it's going back to 77, so that may not be an answerable question, but what's the success rate? Are you 90% successful, or how many of these businesses, you know, don't make it?
Yeah, so for small business lending, so far, our small cap TIF are 100% successful so far. This is a pretty new program, and we only have just had the first year, I think, since our first loan was closed. But for the business lending program, that is a more traditional loan program where payment, they have to be repaid. I just ran the numbers this fall at the request of our loan committee, and our write-off percentage over, you know, the past 50 years was about, I believe it was about 15%. So it was higher than a traditional bank, but that's kind of to be expected with that program, because it's intended to help businesses that either have a gap in their financing or can't meet traditional underwriting standards. So we know they're a little riskier, but the majority of them have been pretty successful.
Yeah, great.
Yeah. Any other questions before I move on? All right, seeing none. So if working through the application and underwriting takes the majority of the time with MD, or takes as long as spot during this process, we really want to make sure the projects are financially sound, the projects are feasible, and they have the other sources of financing lined up. So then if that is all looking good, I provide our loan committee with a detailed credit recommendation, which goes over all of the items I kind of just discussed and those ratios. They review the financials, projections, et cetera. Our loan committee currently has four members. Two of them are board members with MDC, and then two of them are commercial bankers. So we get a mix of both community development, we have an attorney, and then we have the bankers as well that are available for the review. We do ask the borrowers come to our loan committee. So they present to our loan committee a quick presentation, and then our loan committee can ask them a few questions as well during this time. And if our loan committee approves, we will then prepare a more of a synopsis of the credit analysis. So, you know, we want to redact some of the sensitive information to comply with open records requests. So I provide a summary, trying to still hit all of the key points of the project, but protect some of the private information. And it goes through your city committees and common council, including this committee. And it all goes through smoothly there. Then MDC prepares the loan documents and moves into closing with the businesses. We work closely with the borrower and the other financing parties. Most of these loans are usually larger, either real estate purchases or big buildouts. So the primary borrower or the primary lender usually uses a title company, and we'll tag along with them to work through the draws on the loans. These loans are secured. We'll take all of the collateral of the primary lender, which is usually a mortgage, guarantees from the businesses, and the anyone with 20% or more of the business as well. Then MDC services loans. These ones are nice. There's no payments to monitor. So I check in with them, especially during the first few months while they're getting their project underway. And then annually afterwards, I visit the sites and ask for a job review just to make sure they're still doing what they said they would. And on the right here, you can see the loans we've closed so far through this program. This is just a sample. This was the first loan we closed through the Small Cap TID program. This was actually in TID 39, Smart Cleaning Solutions. James Sutton is the owner of the business. He's in the middle here of the picture here. He built a cleaning business specializing in commercial and some more specialty cleanings. And he was able to build out a new workshop that allowed him to grow his business and expand into car detailing and carpet cleaning as well. So this was a successful one, and I just visited them last week, and they're doing great. They're very proud of their new space and very thankful for this program. So that is all I had. If there's any questions, I'm happy to answer them. If not, I thank you guys so much for your time. This is a really fun program for me to work on. I get to meet a lot of great companies. Yes, a question?
Yeah, no, just a comment. Thank you for your work. Thank you for supporting these businesses and giving them that extra boost that they need to make things happen for them and to really seed that long-term economic equity and wealth building for them and for their families. Really appreciate it. And great presentation. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Yeah. Thank you, Jillian. Thank you, Lori. Appreciate your time tonight.
Thank you. We appreciate the opportunity.
All right. I see no other questions, so we shall move on. Matt, do you want to discuss the South Madison land banking?
Happy to. So just by way of background, the City of Madison, the Common Council recently approved purchasing another property within South Madison. And so Chair Harris asked that I provide an overview and update regarding some of the land banking work that we've been doing in South Madison. over the past couple of years. And so on your screen, which I assume you're seeing a map on your screen, I hope.
Yep.
Is that yes? All right, great. So there are three areas where we have been land banking in South Madison. I'm going to briefly provide an overview and update regarding all three of those areas. The first is here, what we call the Old Meadows Triangle. Then we have a property here, 1901 South Park Street. And then we have the Park Badger Project, which is located here at the intersection of Park and Badger. And I'll start by talking a little bit about where things are at with the All Meadows Triangle, which is these grouping of properties here. And before I do that, though, just to kind of lay some of the groundwork or the framework around why the city is investing in land banking in South Madison. From a real estate standpoint, we recognize that South Madison is on the verge and arguably already attracting a lot of interest on the part of the development community. This, as you know, this corridor is in close proximity to downtown, the campus, the hospitals, has great access to the Beltline. And so this part of the city is going to redevelop over the next couple of decades. It is just in a geographic location that people are interested in making an investment in real estate. And so what the city did a couple years ago is we adopted the South Madison Plan, which laid out a vision for the future of this neighborhood that really called for ensuring that we are not displacing people and businesses from the neighborhood over time, and that we're creating opportunities for people and businesses that have called South Madison home for many years to stay within South Madison. And so one of the recommendations coming out of that plan was a land banking strategy where the city could step in, purchase the property, and have greater control over ensuring that we were partnering with developers that would create spaces for individuals that are already living in South Madison to remain in South Madison, and for businesses that are already here to remain, hopefully, in South Madison. And over time, of course, attracting new residents and new businesses as well. But really looking at it from the perspective of not having entire displacement out of the neighborhood as real estate development starts to take off. And so to that end, we started our land banking efforts. The property that the city council just recently approved us purchasing is property number 11, which you can see here, which is right in the middle of the All Meadows Triangle. We as a city already own or have a purchase and sale agreement for all of the remaining properties that you see in green. So we already own number 2, number 13, and number 7. And then we have an option, we have a purchase and sale agreement executed to purchase the former All Meadows Holdings, which is property number 1, 9, and 12. So I'll talk a little bit about the current status of these properties. First, three of these properties that we currently own are vacant, and we will be demolishing them this summer. And that is property number 2, 13, and 7. So again, these are currently vacant buildings, and the city will be demolishing them this summer. Properties 1, 9, and 12 are owned by All Meadows, but we have a purchase and sale agreement with All Meadows to buy the properties from them. All Meadows is currently building a new location on the far southeast side of the city of Madison and within an industrial zoned area. So it's really a great opportunity for All Meadows to grow their business operations within the Madison community and do so within a brand new facility that's currently under construction. All Meadows will likely be moving into their new home probably this fall. And at that time, then the city, All Meadows will then demolish their existing buildings that are here, and the city will then acquire lots 1, 9, and 12. Parcel 11, the parcel that the council just gave us authorization to purchase, has several tenants currently within the facility, and they have leases that run until 2026. Our intent is to allow the tenants that are in that building to remain within their current lease timeframe. We might even entertain expanding their lease timeframe a little bit. If it doesn't negatively impact our ability to move forward with a project here. And in the meantime, we're going to work with those tenants to identify, hopefully, alternative locations within South Madison that we can relocate them to. So we will, again, be purchasing parcel 11 in the next few months, and then we will work with the tenants that are there to help them find alternative spots within South Madison. By the end of 2026, then, we will have under city ownership likely all of these properties, and these properties will be vacant. And then I'll talk about what we'll do next, but Susan, I see you have a question, so maybe I'll pause and let you ask the question.
Okay, I'm sorry to interrupt here, Matt, but the question is, when you look at these properties and you make an offer, how do you value the property? Is it at full market value, or is there some give and take? Do you offer to have these individuals go to a different location as part of the purchase, or how do you actually negotiate that?
Sure. Different cases in the different buildings. In the case of All Metals, we negotiated a package with All Metals that included providing them with some relocation benefits to relocate to their new facility on the southeast side. In the case of All Metals, they'll be completing the demolition work. In all of these cases, we secure an appraisal, and that appraisal identifies what the value of the property is. So for example, building number 11, which the council just approved us purchasing, we secured an appraisal, negotiated a purchase price based on that appraisal with the owner. And we did the same thing with building 2, 13, and 7. The only properties that were occupied by the owner was All Metals. The remaining properties were owned by a third party and then leased to businesses. So it's a different situation. So as I mentioned, we will be working with the remaining tenants that are in property number 11 to try to find locations for them to relocate within South Madison, and they can possibly take advantage of the small business programs that we've been talking about this evening as well. So it depends on the situation, but in all cases, we get an appraisal that lets us know what the fair market value is. And then given the circumstance, we negotiate a purchase and sale agreement accordingly. And so what'll happen then once, you know, so in a 2026, 2027 timeframe, once we have relocated or helped to identify new locations for the tenants that are in the remaining building number 11, we will then issue a request for proposals to partner with a private developer to redevelop the All Metals Triangle. And this is an image from the South Madison plan that includes, you can see basically the outline here of that same property. And what this plan calls for is a mix of a mixed-use building that you see here, some residential of medium and lower density here, and then possibly some employment space here. Obviously, this is just an overview. The development community could submit a proposal that somewhat varies from this, but this is generally what we want to see is a mix of employment space, mixed-use space, and residential space. We would also likely extend North Avenue in a northeasterly direction to someday potentially connect with the properties on the other side of the railroad tracks. And another exciting aspect of this project is the extension of Heifetz Park. So right now, Heifetz Park is this area here, and we would expand that park to create some additional park amenities within this neighborhood. So again, we would identify a developer to do this work through an RFP process. And again, the timing for this is that RFP process probably won't happen until more of a 2026, 2027 timeline. Any other questions related to this All Metals area before I move to the next land banking area? So the next land banking area is these two properties here, properties 6 and 4. These are both owned by the city already. This is 1901 South Park Street. These buildings are already vacant, so we will be demolishing these buildings this summer. And we have already started pulling together initial language for a request for a proposal to again go out to the development community. This will likely be probably a entirely residential building. Maybe there'll be a small retail component, but it'll likely lean towards residential. It's an interesting site because there's a significant grade difference from Park Street to Beld Street. So we might have some interesting opportunities to have, for example, some townhomes on Beld Street that are built into a larger building on Park Street. But this will likely be a primarily a residential building. And again, we might be in a position to release an RFP in 2025 to get this project started. Any questions with that one? All right. So next, I'll move to the final area, which is the Park Badger redevelopment, where there's a lot of activity happening. And I'm going to just scroll down a couple slides to just remind everyone of where this is located. Here's Badger Road. We have South Park Street. The Beltline is below your screen. So this is the site of a former South Transfer Point that you may remember when we were still using the transfer points. So we already owned this property. This is the former building that was owned by Centro Hispano. And the city worked with Centro Hispano. We owned some vacant property over here on the corner of Hughes and Cypress. And so we partnered with Centro Hispano where we bought their property, their existing property from them, and gave them the property that we owned here at the intersection of Cypress and Hughes, allowing Centro to build their new facility, which is now open. There was an office building that the city purchased here, and then we had our existing police station. So in this case, we have two properties that were already owned by the city, the police station and the South Transfer Point, and then we had two properties that we purchased that become the Park Badger development. The McDonald's will stay, and the Burr Oaks Senior Apartments will stay. Just by way of background, the South District Police Department will be moving to the old Town Madison Town Hall. We'll be building a brand new South Police station on that property that held the former Town of Madison Town Hall. Another property involved in this transaction is the fire station number 6. We have sold this property to Madison College. Madison College is going to use this property to expand some of their course offerings within the neighborhood. And then fire station number 6 is going to become part of the new Park Badger redevelopment. So, Susan, do you have an initial question?
Yes. So the South District Police Department is moving over to Fish Hatchery. Is that where?
Yep. Okay. Yes, that's correct.
Did they not have enough space here, or was it the fact that you wanted to make this one large, a bigger property footprint?
It was a combination of making so the city, as I think everyone knows, the town of Madison was attached to the city of Fitchburg and the city of Madison. The city of Madison gained the old Town Madison Town Hall. And we had a couple of space needs relative to the police department. There was a need for a South District police station, but we also have a significant need in the community for police evidence storage and police record storage. And so we identified that there was an opportunity because the town of Madison town hall property is relatively large. We recognized that there was a great opportunity to consolidate several police facilities into a brand new facility. And over time, that would be more cost effective and more operationally effective than the current situation where you have the South District PD here, and then you have several other evidence and record storage facilities scattered throughout the city. So it's an opportunity to consolidate MPD into a brand new facility that will, over time, mean that we don't have to like repair and improve this building as well. But it's not so much that they needed more space here as much as it was just a broader need to consolidate some MPD facilities into one.
Okay, thank you.
Yep. And so we own all of the properties that you see in the area highlighted here. And what we did last year is we issued a request for proposal to partner with a developer to develop this site. And through that RFP process, we selected the team that you see here. This is a Community Development Authority led project. So it is led by the city's Community Development Authority. There are three principal developers that are involved: Alexander Company, Captains Inc., and New Year Investments. And Potter Lawson and Psyche Design are leading the architecture of the project. There is a great website if you want to learn more about this project. It's parkbadgermadison.com. And so I encourage you to check out that website if you would like to learn more about the project. And so what are they going to do with this property? So you can see, again, just to kind of get your bearings, you can see that Park Street is on the right side of your screen. Badger Road is here. Again, the McDonald's remains. This is the new Centro Hispano building over here. And this is the existing Baroque senior housing building over here. This development will happen in two phases. And phase one will have these buildings A and B. Building A will be an 8-story building with about 183 apartments. These will be affordable apartments or a mix of affordable and market rate, a tax credit deal. And then on the ground floor of this building A, or first two floors, will be new offices for public health of Madison and Dane County. So again, public health will be relocating into a brand new location here on the two first and second floor within apartments above. Building B will then be senior housing, about 51 units of senior housing, plus the fire station. So this area over here will be the new fire station. Currently, the fire station's here, and they will ultimately be in a brand new home right across the street over here. And then down the road, as phase two, building C will be constructed, there's a little less certainty as to what exactly will be included within building C, but it will be a multifamily apartment project. This, as I mentioned, there are going to be affordable housing tax credits used to have affordability within these apartment projects. The development team will be applying this year later this year for those tax credits. If all goes well and they secure their tax credits and their other funding, they could be under construction of this initial phase in 2026. Any questions on this or any of the other projects?
No,
so again, Wayne, I'm sorry.
I said, no, it's great. I'm glad that, you know, we're being proactive and purchasing land and able to develop the city as kind of we see the need versus having other people tell us how it's going to develop. Okay, we do have a couple of hands up. Alder Madison.
Thank you, Chair. I just have one question, mostly for Matt, from follow-up from council. Has the meeting been scheduled yet with the folks over at that Park Street location we were discussing?
It has not. But again, just as a reminder, we don't own the property yet.
Thank you.
Yep.
Let me just follow up. Matt, if you wouldn't just mind giving this committee an update after, you know, you guys have gotten there to the point where you can meet with them.
Yes, happy to do that.
Thank you.
Nasra?
Thank you, Chair. And thank you so much, Chair, for being proactive, and Matt for giving us this information. It's really great information to visualize the development of Park Street. My question is, you alluded to there's two parts of the project, phase one and phase two. What's the timeline looks like? You know, like, is it, you know, 2025? I mean, starting when to when do we expect to the fully completion?
Sure. So again, phase one is these buildings A and B, and I should mention that I am not admittedly intimately familiar with this project, given that it's a CDA project. It's more Matt Wachter and Dan Johns, but I'll try to do my best. So if all goes well with their tax credits and their other funding, they should be under construction next spring. So that would be, spring of 2026. And then a building of this complexity takes, probably at least 18 months to complete. So my guess is that if they start in early 2026, that at some point in later 2027 is when they would be able to start opening some of these buildings. And then building C is going to, I'm not sure exactly the timeline for building C. That one is, I'm a little less certain about.
Thank you. And one follow-up. As alluded to Alder Madison, one of the previous discussion of the council, neither of all these buildings have tenant now that will be displaced. But are all this building that we are land banking, vacant, some of it?
Yeah, so let me scroll back to the other map, and this way I can point things out. So within the Park Badger development, all of these buildings are vacant. Remember, we worked to help Centro Hispano move to their new facility over here. The 1901 buildings are vacant. The buildings currently owned by All Metals are still occupied by All Metals, and they and some other tenants that lease space from them. So once they have their new building constructed, which is again currently under construction, but once that new building's finished, they will then move over to that new building. They will also their leases of some other entities that lease from them will be terminated. And then they will demolish all of their buildings and then sell the empty property to us. Building 13 is vacant. Building 7 is, I believe, now vacant. There's not really a building here. This is an old mulch business, so they will not be using the property this year. Building 2 is now vacant, and building 11, this is the building where there are still a couple of tenants, and those tenants have leases into 2026. And again, we will not be terminating those leases. We will let those leases run out and potentially even allow those tenants to stay a little longer, and then work with those tenants to see if we can find an alternative location for them to move to.
Thank you.
So, Matt, one question on the metals property. Is there going to be a lot of remediation there, and who's paying for that?
There is going to be remediation, and some of that will be completed by All Metals in the context of when they do the demolition. You have buildings. So sometimes you have contamination that's part of the building, and then sometimes you have it within the land. So as part of their demolition, they will be remediating some of that. And then we did, as we negotiated a purchase price with them, we did account for the fact that there might be some remaining work that we need to do as we redevelop the site. So that was accounted for when we negotiated the purchase from them.
And same with the Park Street, Badger Park. I know when I had the McDonald's next door, we had a lot of remediation we had to do because of the gas station that used to be on the other side of Hughes, had leaky tanks. Are we looking at potential remediation there too?
I don't think that there was anything significant on the properties that we now own. On the corner here, the South Transfer Point, I don't think there was anything significant. Centro Hispano and the police station, I'm not aware that there was anything significant. Now, I mean, there's associated with the demolition, there's probably some, asbestos within some of these old buildings, stuff like that, but nothing that was concerning. So perhaps, Wayne, perhaps you cleaned everything up in the neighborhood when you owned it. So we thank you for that
Yeah.
support of the city.
Okay. Thanks, Matt. Right. Any other questions for Matt? Matt, thank you very much. This was an outstanding presentation, really helpful for the committee. If I don't see any other questions, so let's move on to the economic development plan.
We don't really have a huge update this month. We are continuing to work with the consultant team. The consultant team is sort of getting, we've provided them with a whole lot of reading material about the community. They're doing their own research on the community. So they're sort of getting themselves acclimated with the community. And then we are also working on setting up the stakeholder advisory group, which will be, there's sort of going to be three groups of individuals that work with the consultant team on this effort. There's the EDC, so all of you will be involved in that process. There's a city staff team, which is city staff from economic development and planning and community development. And then there's a stakeholder advisory group, which is individuals from outside of city government who will also be, so more private sector individuals that will also be engaged. And so we're working on finalizing the membership of that stakeholder advisory group. And then probably we'll have the kickoff meeting with them in March. Also, don't hold me to this, but I think we'll probably be in a position to perhaps have the consultant team meet with the EDC in March as well.
Great. Okay. I guess, Ruth, you're up next. I don't see Ruth.
I'm here.
Oh, okay.
Thank you. Hi. and I'm just going to share my screen, if that's okay. Sorry, it's just going to take me 1 second. All right. So what we're going to be looking at is now we've started our new 2025 dashboard. And so this is January. We have approved a handful of building improvement grants. Luna's Market is one, the second location that they're going to be opening on South Park Street at the Villager Hub area, a beauty salon, and then Zaza Snacks, which is near State Street. There's one healthy retail access program grant that went to Paleo Mama on Park Street. Kiva Madison, I think you guys know they're always going to be a month or so behind. So these are just, I wanted to put this in, even though these are from last year, but these are the three Kiva loans that were funded in December of 2024. There weren't any facade grants. Commercial ownership, the one that was approved in January was for Silk Road on Park Street, and that's to help them purchase the building. And there were no small cap TIF or tax increment or acre grants or funding given out in January.
Great. Well, thanks, Ruth. Anything else in the pipeline?
There's a lot in the pipeline. So I think next month you're going to have, there's going to be a number of other businesses that you'll see. So, yeah.
Great. Great.
Susan, good. Did you have a question?
Yes, I do. Hi, Ruth. My question has to do about Luna's Market.
Now, oh, yeah.
Yes. Is that going to go in the location where the grocery is right now, or where will that be, and how are we helping them other than this $50,000?
Oh yeah, so for Luna's Market, that is going to be in the old, and it's all changing a little bit, but the old UWA Asian grocery store right next to the hub on South Park Street near the Beltline. And then there is going to be the second a second grocery store in it's like, is it a Metro Market or a Myers? Matt would Mikulajewski will know, in that Royster Clark building.
Mowers Market in the Truman Olson building.
Mowers Market. Okay, I got him.
Okay.
I said all the other M's, but yeah. So it's a different, so Mowers is going to be a little bit more, from my understanding, like full service, or a smaller footprint, but more full service grocery. And then Luna's will be kind of more specialized, small square foot, kind of like what they have in the Allied neighborhood. And the only support that we're giving them is, first, I believe they're renting the space from the city, right, Matt? And then this building improvement grant to help them. It is sort of already set up for grocery, but they needed some specialty kind of changes to help support their deli and some other foods that they're going to have available.
So just so I understand, Luna's Market then is down near Badger Road. And
Yes.
yes, okay, where the Asian grocery was before.
Correct.
And then we also have the other grocery that will be going further up Park Street.
Correct. Yeah.
Right.
And Pick and Save is staying open?
No, they'll be
No.
closing.
Okay.
Well, I don't think we know that. I mean, it's up to Pick and Save as to whether they stay open.
Oh, I see.
Okay, Nazra?
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, Ruth. This is really good to have all these organizations or these businesses that are being held by the city. My question is, are there any performance metrics in terms of how these businesses are doing? How they are serving the community the city will serve? How their business is doing? Are there any follow-up after we give them the fundings?
There are for all of the funding, to a certain extent, there are things that they need to do to be compliant with the grant, but there isn't any thing in place to request like future requests for their financials or their financing. Because I know this committee has requested in the past an understanding of how many businesses are still open that we funded through the CBER program during COVID. I have just on my own started trying to do an annual check to see who's still open and who's not, but there's nothing formal that we're doing. The commercial ownership, well, really the Healthy Retail Access program is, and one of the only ones in ACRE, and possibly commercial ownership assistance that have metrics on like supporting specific good works in the neighborhood, or I don't know how to explain that. For like the building improvement grants, for example, that really is just set up to support small businesses in improving their interior of their businesses, and there isn't a metric to show community involvement or service. I mean, I think the idea is that the small businesses providing retail throughout the city are in themselves have an impact on the community. That
Okay,
makes sense.
Melissa.
Yeah, thank you, Ruth. This is, I think, a question maybe both for you and possibly Matt, given the prior presentation about the land banking in the South Park Street area. I just popped into my head, and I don't know if we've spoken about this, but the sale of the labor temple and like how, if we've been in conversations and or like how that plays into like some of these grocery availability, if there's going to be more tenants, like if you have any insights or comments, either of you, on that happening.
I let Matt do it because he knows more.
Sure. So, we've been in conversations with the Labor Temple actually over the years about concepts around possible redevelopment of their property. I mean, I think at this point, the property was just recently put on the market officially. So this is sort of the first time that the Labor Temple has put a for sale sign out front and actively pursuing a development there. I think this is a case where, we haven't made sort of any formal decision as a city, but I think, we're very interested in seeing if there are private entities that might be interested in coming in and doing it themselves or doing it something in partnership with the city. Unlike some of these other properties that we have land banked, some of these other properties that we land banked had situations where you had sort of multiple parcels that you really had to acquire all of them to make something happen, or they weren't perhaps as desirable for a large scale redevelopment. The Labor Temple property is a great property. It is right on a corner. It's a good size. So it's possible that someone in the private sector will take the lead on that one, and the city could be a partner in some form or another. But certainly, to the point that you raise, there are going to be more residents in South Madison. We're already seeing more residents within South Madison. This will be not only supportive of food retailers, but restaurants and all the other businesses that are in South Madison will see an increase in the number of residents in the area, and hopefully that'll be good for many small business owners.
Yeah, that's great. And are we working with them? And I this might be like more of a housing question, but are we working with them on affordable units as well?
Working with the Labor Temple?
Yeah, or like, do we plan to at least try to influence the development of that property in some way or incentivize, with like in the spirit of that South Madison plan to kind of keep alignment with that.
Yeah, so we likely would not be working with the Labor Temple specifically, but we would be working with a developer that came in to do the development project. So if a developer came in with a desire for affordable housing, they could certainly work with us on some combination of TIF and or the Affordable Housing Fund. We don't, as a city, we don't really have the ability to compel a private landowner to do affordable housing, but we certainly are going to be there, willing to have a conversation with developers that are interested in the site, that about the programs that we do have available, and certainly we'll work with interested parties that are looking at that site, about how we could support affordable housing on the project.
Thank you.
Yep.
So I wanted to get back to Alderwoman Haley's question on Luna. Part of the deal there is that because of the food desert there, we were interested in having healthy food available. Rather than Ho-Hos and Twinkies. So is anybody going to follow up to make sure that, because unfortunately, produce spoils. And if nobody's buying it, then the inclination is going to be towards Twinkies and Ho-Hos. But that doesn't solve the issue that the city wanted to solve, and that was to get have healthy food available for the residents. So will there be follow-up on that?
Well, so we just to provide some further background on the Luna's project. So Luna's is occupying a space within the Village on Park, which is a property that we own as a city. Technically, it's owned by the Community Development Authority, but the Community Development Authority is an arm of the city. One of the positive aspects of leasing that space to Luna's is that Luna's already has a track record of providing healthy food options within the LI Drive neighborhood. So it is a grocer that already has a business model in place that provides produce and other healthy food choices. And so, you know, that's really one of the reasons why the city partnered with Luna's is because we believe that Luna's is going to be able to do that within this location.
Okay. And then across the street, you've got the Park Bank development. Is anything happening with that? Because they bought, I think they bought all the way to the corner. So it's another big piece of property.
Yep. I don't believe that there's been any applications of the city yet for a development project, but certainly the city has very close communication with Park Bank and some of the principals at Park Bank. And certainly when they are ready to move forward, we'll happily sit down and work with them as well.
Okay. All right. Any other questions? Okay, Matt. Announcements and future EDC agenda items?
So just looking ahead to the at kind of upcoming EDC meetings again in March, we might have some more information on the ED strategy. We also hope to invite the consultant team that's working on the Business Ready program to provide an update. In April, we were thinking of possibly having WBIC, the Wisconsin Women's Business Initiative Corporation, to come and provide a similar presentation to what MDC provided tonight about what they're working on. And then May will be our in-person meeting, and we were leaning towards using the May meeting to kind of have a conversation around work planning that Melissa Gumbar brought up last month. We thought that'd be good to do in person. And then we are still working on the needs-based analysis work. We just aren't ready to share anything quite yet, but that is on the work plan. And at one of these meetings, we hope to provide an update on that as well.
Thanks, Matt. So, by the way, if anybody has suggestions for us as to where that May meeting could be, you know, we have a couple of thoughts, but if any of you have some ideas on where we could meet, needless to say, we need to be able to, you know, have enough space in a conference room or something where we can meet comfortably and have, you know, we'll be recording as always. So we need enough electrical outlets, et cetera. But there are places like Exact Science and True Stage that, you know, are potential opportunities, but we'll take on all ideas at this point. Susan?
You're muted, Susan.
Sorry. This would be for a future meeting item. Ruth, are you still, you're still with me here. One of the things that we had put together when we had the Small Business Advisory Committee was the opportunity for new business coming into the city to sit down and talk about the process. Is that still going on? And would you be willing to just share those discussions that we had and also where we're at with that committee? And I don't remember what it's called.
You know, is that maybe the BAT, the Business Assistance Team?
Yeah.
Yeah, we could do that in a future meeting and update about what's going on with BAT for sure.
Thank you. It's bad. I couldn't remember the acronym.
Awesome. I know. Yeah.
Thank you.
It's back to you.
Okay. Yeah. Anybody else have anything? Otherwise, next meeting is March 19th. And if there's nothing else, entertain a motion to adjourn.
Move to adjourn.
Thank you. Is there a second?
Susan is.
Okay, Susan, thank you. All in favor signify by saying aye. Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? All right. Thank you, everybody. Thank you, staff. You guys did a great job in presenting. It was really helpful. And I look forward to seeing everybody next month. Stay warm.
Yep. Have a good one, everyone.
Bye.
Yeah, bye.